be there just...
Go ahead, show the meeting, Ken. Let's get it over. I moved the bill.
I don't need another number.
CRA meeting will come to order, April 8th, 1985 at 3:10. Members present are Representative Bloomberg, Representative Furness, and Representative Kopanen, and myself, co-chair, Representative Wallach. We have HB 42 before us today, an act relating to disposal of state lands within a community, and I don't know what witnesses we have.
Madam Chair, would you like to have the committee substitute move this bill before us now,
yes,
or after you have testimony?
There is no testimony. We have people from DNR here, and would you like to make a statement, or?
Madam Chair, Mike Bediener from Department of Natural Resources. We testified on the bill before the committee in early March, I believe it was, and provided comment at that time and a letter from the commissioner of the department. Our position remains unchanged with respect to this draft CS. We've just received this. We might modify our comment some, but I can see that a number of our concerns will remain if this CS does come before the committee. I'll wait perhaps a comment.
Madam Chair, you want a motion to, I guess, Representative Copeland is going to do the motion to the CS.
I move that.
Yes.
I move that we have the bill before it shall be the CS HB 42 CNRA. That's what I would put that.
Oh, yes.
We have a letter of intent that also goes with the bill to, I think, that will resolve DNR problems. The committee letter states that it is the intent of the House Committee on Community and Regional Affairs that the definition of community be that established by the Department of Community and Regional Affairs for the purposes of revenue sharing programs.
That was one, Madam Chair,
yes,
that was going to be one of my questions. Is that presently in the statute, and if so, where?
You're talking about the definition of community?
Yes.
We will just use the guidelines that Community and Regional Affairs uses for revenue sharing.
I understand what it says.
Uh-huh.
My question is that definition presently contained in the statute?
Doug Griffin testified on that question when the bill was up.
I wasn't here for the hearing. I'm sorry.
I can't answer right now whether that's in statute or in regulation.
Do you
but
know?
I could call and find out.
Madam Chair,
yes.
Representative Grunberg, I do not know. It would not be under Title 38, perhaps under Title 29, but
would
I'm
you
not.
Be willing to make a call? Because I think that if it's by statute, we ought to reference the statute. And if it's not, I think that it's important enough we ought to have it in the statute so that they couldn't just change the definition of community at will.
So they, meaning the department?
Department of Natural Resources. The purpose of this bill, one of the purposes of the amendment, is to make certain that the community has to approve.
Mm-hmm.
And let's say they have a particular situation where they can't get approval.
Mm-hmm.
They could just arbitrarily exclude that particular community
mm-hmm.
if we're not real careful.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to preserve the integrity of the bill, I think we should be careful. May I inquire?
Yes.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch your name.
Mike Bediener.
Oh, sure, of course. Mr. Bediener, there seems to be a difference between the original bill in line 13 and the present bill in line 14. The original bill talked in terms of the nomination of the land by the community. In other words, the community would propose it. This talks about the approval of the community. And I'm wondering if that's a... obviously, nomination is, in one sense, a weaker term, but in another sense gets the community involved a little earlier in the process. What I'm wondering is whether it would make a difference for us to say, upon nomination of and with the approval of the community.
so that they would both be involved earlier and have final approval. Do you see a problem with that? Madam Chair, Mr. Chair, thank you. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. I guess I'm present now. This computer problem. Thank you. Mike Bediener, Department of Natural Resources. The question is the difference between the wording of nomination and approval in that line.
Yeah, I'm interested in getting the community in from the beginning. I like the fact that it has to have the approval, but I'd also like to see them, you know, the present intent of the sponsors, I mean, the original intent was that they would also nominate the land. And so what do you think about saying upon nomination of and should be approving?
The department currently has a mechanism to provide notice and hold meetings in local communities near where our land disposal program is going to impact next. Generally in our three-year land disposal process, it's early, it's in year one. The intent of that early notice is to solicit comment and reaction to the proposal from the local community. It does not specifically take the form of a nomination at that time. However, a nomination is an option for anyone through either the land bank process, land disposal bank process.
But what the original bill would have done, Mike, is to only allow you to do it if they went through a nomination process, which I gather is a term of art. The term nomination is a term that's used in your statutes. You know what I'm saying?
Not currently. Land may be nominated for disposal by a community or anyone else for that matter through the land disposal bank process. So in that sense, Representative Kloonberg, that is true. There is a nomination availability to any and everyone.
But it's not the exclusive procedure.
That's correct.
If it were only by nomination, then it would limit you. So you probably wouldn't be in favor of limiting it solely to nomination. You like the word probably an approval better.
At this point, the nomination process would be of concern to the department because of not only land disposals, but the broad spectrum of activity which is encompassed by the term disposal itself.
I understand.
Leases one of
them. It might be of some value to indicate how this came about. I spoke with a sponsor before putting the CS together, and he concurred with your understanding that the nomination process would be a new addition to the procedures if it were a formal nomination process that was required. And what he was looking for was basically that disposals not take place unless the community wanted them. And so
approval's a little easier for them.
It seemed like a simpler thing to implement should the bill pass.
My only other question, Mr. Chairman, before you came and the vice chair read the letter of intent. Yeah, the definition.
On the phone with CNRA right now.
That's what I'm looking for.
Yes, if I may ask a witness, point of clarification. We have a land disposal, the request goes through the land bank, as you said.
Mr. Chairman, the arrangement is that lands nominated come from the land disposal bank. In this case, let me clarify, nominated would be internally within DNR in the early review process, selecting portions of lands that are in now our land disposal bank.
Is it true that any one person in the state can request a land disposal?
That, Mr. Chairman, yes, that is correct.
So if I'm living out of chicken and I want land, state land to be disposed out there, I can write or call or somehow get to DNR and ask for land disposal?
Mr. Chairman, the mechanism would be that that person would nominate through our land bank disposal process, land disposal bank process, the land, I believe it's up to one township worth of land to be put into the bank, which would subsequently be considered for disposal by the department. It is not, it would have to be deemed on our schedule or when we would look at that area for a disposal. But it would indicate to the department that there is an interest, and if the nomination is accepted, it would put that land in the disposal bank, so it's within the pool of land available. There's some 700,000 acres, I think, of land in the bank now. 700,000?
Further questions by members of the committee? Thank you very much, sir. There was a motion to adopt the letter of intent, is that correct?
We haven't done that.
Forgive me, I'm so sorry. I meant to adopt the committee substitute.
Yes, we did.
And no objections to that?
Okay.
And the committee substitute has been adopted. We're still just checking on that, the definition of community for you to make a determination whether there's anything you can do about that. Would you like to discuss the letter of intent for a moment? And
Mr.
You had a recommendation?
I would suggest while we wait for the telephone call, we pass on to the next bill, we can come back to this.
Okay, the next bill we're not going to be doing very much with. I just wanted to update you on the two bills that we are dealing with that have been before us for some time, House Bill 15 and then a brief comment on House Bill 139. I believe you have a letter from the Department of Community and Regional Affairs on top of your envelope dated April 2nd that looks something like this. And it's a long statement by Jeff Smith that basically says two things. Number one, that he would... There you go. That's it. Basically, he says that he prefers the public hearing process to a referendum process in assessing public opinion on annexations. However, he goes on to say on page 2, third paragraph, that if we are going to go with an election process of some sort, which is, of course, the nature of the bill, that he would recommend a public opinion poll rather than just an election, such that the nature of people's concerns could be addressed. I'm going to go out and research this among the communities that have brought this issue to me, but you might like to turn over two more pages, and you'll see the sample public opinion poll that Mr. Smith, yes?
You know, I've been in this long enough to know that if you have a public opinion poll, they're going to attack it no matter what.
The
losing or prevailing side,
yes,
will attack it. If you have a vote of the people, it's a little harder to combat it. You know, public opinion poll, they're going to look at it, what criteria to use. You know, they'll find a hole and work on that as much as possible. Whereas if you have a vote of the people, then it's a little hard to fight against that.
Let me ask a question about that, if I could, Randy. Let me just finish the phrase here, which is that the particular public opinion poll is here before you. The text of a bill that would accommodate such a poll is also before you as a CS number 3, just for purposes of discussion.
Mm-hmm.
And all it does is change the bill by, instead of saying they'll conduct an election, say that they will distribute this public opinion poll on a form provided by the department. And then here was the poll that they gave to us to discuss. I personally think that the communities that brought this to me, when I get back to them, are going to agree with you and prefer the election, but I would just appreciate the comments of the members on that.
All I'm saying is it just shows more validity. I mean, I do my questionnaire, and every time I get an adverse opinion to some group, they try to immediately look for a hole.
Right, well,
how did you poll it? What technique did you use?
Play devil's advocate with you here. Let's say that they had so you're saying that if it were sent out to every registered voter, the number that came back would not be a reliable cross-section in the same way that the people who turn out at an election could be considered a random reliable cross-section. Okay, thank you, Mr. Furness.
But my question, my problem would be the same thing, the sample size. If you have a community of 1,000 people, you send it out and you get 50 of these back. Is that an adequate representation of that sample and all? And I tend to agree with Randy. I probably want to vote if that's more positive.
Okay, well, I'll tell you the truth. I, myself, if that's the way we're going to go, do you fellows agree? Do you think that makes sense? Or do you... I personally had the same first reaction. When I looked at his questions, it seemed like his argument was this, that in an annexation that's forced upon an area, 9 times out of 10, it's going to get a negative vote. I said to him, well, so that will, people will have to balance that with, you know, with what they see. He said, well, wouldn't it be better if they had some solid information on the whys and the wherefores? I said, well, of course it would, and he provided us with this. If some mechanism for distribution and collection could be made that would
would be representative, I say this is a nice thing, but in terms of practicality, maybe it's not realistic. Do you have any comment on this? Sir?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Scott Burgess, Alaska Municipal League. I'm sorry I didn't make it to your hearing the first time this bill was up. I didn't realize the changes in it until recently. I did read the material that's before you. The specifics of the legislation, the league doesn't necessarily have a position on. The change in the subsequent committee substitutes of mandating that cost on municipalities, and this municipal league would of course, oppose. I guess the concern that we have and the question, and I don't have the benefit of the original testimony, was, and essentially to repeat just what you said, there are four ways to annex, only one of which is the legislative process, and communities would normally pick that only when they know that it wouldn't pass a vote. And therefore, to get a vote to essentially put numbers to what is already known, doesn't seem to be of much use, and maybe I could get some feedback just for my own purposes and communities that call me, sort of, why is this being done, would ask that question.
Being done because people don't feel that an area should be annexed without the legislature knowing how the people in that area feel about it. They understand this is the substratum of the whole argument, and everybody understands that what you're saying is absolutely right. But when the local boundary commission, an outside entity, comes in to assess the appropriateness of an annexation, the people in the area feel it is the responsibility of the state or of the annexing community to demonstrate to the legislature how the people who would be affected feel about it, and they don't feel that the public hearing process where local sanction, where people have to go out and face somebody in the grocery store the following day is the best way to assess public opinion. It's a way, but they're looking for something private and reliable, and not something subject to who could, who wanted to go out and speak in public or anything of that sort. So I have to agree that, I think what we're looking at is how unpopular rather than if it's unpopular. And then Jeff came in and said, well, let's go beyond that and let's talk about, what services they want or don't want, what they're getting or not getting, etc. Seems like something that should take place in any annexation to me. But I have no particular position on this. I'm going to go out to the community that originally requested it and assess their current, comments. And if they come up with something real strong that disagrees with what we've heard today, I'll bring that back to the table. Otherwise, I'm planning to move the bill out Wednesday and probably that version that has a zero fiscal note to the state. That's going to be up to this committee, though. If you guys feel that, you may recall one version only deals with annexations proposed by a municipality. The other version includes those annexations proposed by the local boundary commission. In that case, the state would be liable for that election if it is not a municipally requested annexation, but a local boundary commission decision. There's about an $8,000. What's the fiscal note on that version number one? It's about an $8,000 fiscal note on that. So maybe if you just give a little bit of thought, just give a little bit of thought between now and Wednesday as to whether you want to go with the free one or you feel that all the cases should be covered. I'd appreciate your thought.
Mr. Chairman, I am inclined to want to explore another alternative also, at least for discussion. And this is to the maximum extent permitted under the Constitution. Allow not just advisory elections, but binding elections. And I haven't given this enough thought, but I intend to do so, and I may offer some language to that effect.
It would require a constitutional amendment.
That is the question, and if so, that will certainly change my thinking. But at least in certain circumstances, and we've been around and around on this, for quote adjustments, unquote. The Constitution says that for an adjustment, it doesn't go through the local boundary commission. It need not. The legislature may provide for adjustments by statute. And we may be able to allow, by statute, in a constitutional manner, an actual binding election for adjustments.
The question is, what do they mean by adjustments? But I'm going to give this some thought, and I'm just indicating to the committee members, unless I'm hooted out and shouted out at an early date, I'll have some language for you.
You want to start now?
No, I mean, seriously, if everybody thinks that's a lousy idea, I won't pursue it.
Let's look at, you see.
That's all I ask.
So they don't even have a definition in regulation for revenue sharing community?
No, that exists on the form.
Okay.
For the application process, since they're working.
Thank you very much, Scott.
Chairman, just, that was a summary of some written testimony. I don't know if the committee received it.
I don't know that we did receive it, but written testimony on this.
I just summarized.
We'll, do you have it?
Yeah, or would you copy it up for me?
Is there any opinion on whether it should apply to those annexations that are requested by the local boundary commission and would therefore require a small fiscal note?
Well, fiscal note is $8,000.
Yes, sir. Version number one includes annexations that are proposed by the local boundary commission. Version number two excludes them, and the fiscal note is zero for the second.
My feeling is it should include.
That's mine.
Even if it's a small fiscal note, let's fight it. You know, we can always fall back on
the... Well, then, at the next meeting, I think we'll probably be moving out version number one, and if anybody has amendments or issues they'd like to deal with, please review version number one between now and then, and we'll try to make it a quick deal. In answer to your question about the definition of the community, there's no definition of community in regulation or in statute for any program. We have a little floor show commencing here.
She is a dancer.
Oh, there are existing definitions, but...
So, but they are much broader in responding to your question as to the revenue sharing program. That was the answer that they gave.
I see.
There is language...
Well, why don't you take the chair here and tell the members what you're talking about.
Give us your report.
Give us your report, Bob, on definitions of communities. Good luck.
25 homes, 25 trees, and 2 numbers.
29? 37? For those of you interested in subsistence, there's a 4 o'clock teleconference, public hearing.
5:30.
Oh, 5:30, right. I'm so sorry.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, I'm Bob Berry, staff to Committee on CNRA. I talked with Jim Plassman, who works under Doug Griffin. Mr. Griffin was at the last hearing on House Bill 42, and he mentioned the fact that there was a definition for community. I don't believe he specified exactly where it was. In talking with Mr. Plassman on the phone today, he said there was not a definition for the purpose of revenue sharing in statute. He looked through the regulations and said, came back and said where it exists, their operating operative definition is on the application form for revenue sharing. And there are two criteria, two questions that have to be answered. The first, are there at least 25 permanent residents? And the second, is your community more than 3 miles outside of an organized borough or city? He also referenced criteria that exist in the regulations, this is in, 19 AAC 44035, and there are some criteria set out, and also some that the following places in an unorganized borough are not considered a community, and language to that effect. Should I pass the regulations back to the chairman, or would you like me to
just read what you think defines what a community is rather than is not, if there's anything like that?
Okay. Determination of qualified communities. And this is for aid to unincorporated communities, Chapter 44. A place in the unorganized borough is considered an unincorporated community and is eligible for a grant from the unincorporated community aid account if it satisfies the following criteria. One, the geographic area the unincorporated community occupies is not disproportionate in size to the number of persons residing in the geographic area. In determining whether this standard has been met, the director will consider the physical topography of the area, the use of the land, land ownership patterns, and other factors which may affect population density. Communities with a population density of at least 14 persons per square mile are considered to have met the standard. Two, The community is a discrete and identifiable social unit. In determining whether the standard has been met, the director will consider school enrollment, sources of employment, voter registration, permanency of dwelling units, communities which have at least one commercial establishment, whose families reside in permanent dwelling units, and whose children are enrolled in an operating school on or near the community.
Would you say, Bob, that the stuff that you're reading there is what CNRA considers its definition of a community?
I think their response would be that their operative definition is what would most address the concerns in the bill. That is, the 25 permanent residents, and is the community 3 miles outside the unorganized borough and city.
Okay. How about if the letter of intent then read something like, it is the intent of the House Committee on Community and Regional Affairs that the definition of community for purposes of this statute be the same as that used by the Department of Community and Regional Affairs for purposes of revenue sharing. In that way, it doesn't say that the definition of community is that established by the Department for Revenue Sharing, but just to say that for this statute, they've used the same one that CNRA uses for revenue sharing.
Let me make a suggestion, an alternative suggestion. Can we, if you give me 30, can we stand at ease for 10 seconds here? I'm going to draft this here.
Is there any member who has any comment on my question? Well, Representative Gruenberg.
I have it here, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
May I? Okay. Let's have the present 020 as subsection A. Add a new subsection B to read as follows. As used in this section, quote, community, close quote, means an organized borough, comma, so I'm writing slowly, I got it written. It's going to be the present page on line 12. We'd add that would be subsection A. So before the word Z, put a paren small a close paren, and then we add a new subsection B to read as follows: as used in this section, quote, community close quote means an organized borough, comma, service area, comma, or municipality, and that way.
What about a service area within a municipality or within an organized borough?
Oh, service area outside of a borough or a municipality. Thank you.
Is there a service area outside the borough?
Yeah. Well, according to this thing, they talk about, and I'm looking here in Title 29, if you just give me a second, Mr. Chairman. Let me see, here we are. 29.03.020, service areas. Let me make sure I don't count. Allowing for maximum local participation, the legislature may establish, alter, or abolish service areas within the unorganized borough to provide special services that may include but are not limited to schools, utilities, land use regulations, and fire protection.
Service areas that don't necessarily have communities in them, it could just be, you know, like a forest that they want to put fires in.
Well, then if that's the case, then I would say, but just a second. Let me put this here. Okay. Service area, I'm going to add it here, outside organized boroughs and municipalities containing at least 25 people. So that my amendment would need, we'd have to send this to legislative drafting. Let me read this again. And it's just, it's conceptual here at this point, not the greatest. As used in this section, so it only applied to this one section here, quote, community, close quote, shall mean an organized borough, comma, service area outside organized boroughs and municipalities containing at least 25 persons, comma, or municipality, period. That's not very artfully. And it would include all types of municipalities, all types of organized boroughs, and service areas outside of those other two, so long as there are 25 people.
What about unorganized communities?
Well, the reason I've suggested this, Mr. Chairman, is because here what we're saying, and this is a policy decision, and it'll go to the Resources Committee, but what we're saying is for a community to have the right to approve the state disposing of state land within their area,
the residents should at least have organized in some minimal fashion, that it's not just enough to have people hanging around together, that I think
let
that
the community hanging,
I understand, and what I'm saying here is that the state has a valid basis. They shouldn't be held up just because there happen to be two or three little houses here, there, and the other place. As long as they have organized into some fashion, that should be a triggering mechanism, giving them the right to make the approval. Otherwise, you're going to be able to have people who have no organization, know nothing, just happen to live there, and maybe very few, if any, who can absolutely stop any disposal of state land. And it will have very serious consequences on the ability of the Department of Natural Resources to manage.
Could you read those two phrases there that deal with the density of
dwellings
and the numbers? Max, maybe this would be a little...
Dwellings. I don't care if dwellings.
Okay. Well, sure. Do you want to comment on the organized versus unorganized communities? Or
you get 25 okay. dwelling thing in the game?
No, I mean, there are so many. I mean, Pluck One, Point Baker, Port Protection,
Kenny
you know, Hollis.
I'm guessing Kenny Lake.
I've just got too many unorganized communities.
Are they IRAs? We put that in there, too.
Well, actually, no, they're not all IRAs. Some of them are, but Port Protection, Point Baker, Hollis.
Are they organized in any manner?
Chris Davis, they have a community association.
Put a community association.
How about
I just want to organize in some manner.
Safety net, right?
How about if we either...
Town meeting.
Sure. Yeah. Because what the sponsor said was, why don't you just write a letter saying there's a problem with the definition of communities and move it on to the next committee?
I want to get it out of here today.
Me too.
But I'd like to give them, if in the next 15 minutes we could come as we come up.
You have a definition of community that you'd like to use on this bill that you don't like?
Community eligible for revenue sharing funds.
How about that? Hey, there we go. There we go. There we go. There we go.
Community.
Okay. Department of Natural Resources. Within a community eligible for revenue sharing funds, except
Chairman,
with the approval of.
Mr. Chairman, I would suggest we add a subsection B. We usually have a definition of subsection B. You know, as used in this term, quote, community shall mean any community eligible. For, is that federal or state, or do you want to
state.
Say for state revenue sharing funds, period. And I move the amendment.
Well, what is exactly the language now?
As used in this section.
As
this is a new subject.
Used
in this section.
In this section.
Comma.
A community.
No, quote, community, close quote.
Community.
Shall mean. Or means, just say means.
How about is defined as?
Is defined as.
Is defined as a community.
Any community. Any community eligible
for state revenue right.
Title 29.
You got that? Sharing.
I don't want to cite a regs.
No. You have to say the title.
That's
to define
that's
what you
the
mean.
Title, which will follow the
All right, under Alaska statute, okay. And we'll put in the number.
Right.
The amendment before us then reads, as used in this section, comma, quote, community, quote, is defined as a community eligible for state revenue sharing under AS,
move the amendment.
Amendment is moved. Bill is moved with individual recommendations. Hearing no objections. House Bill 42 is moved from committee. 4:10. On Wednesday, we'll take up version number 1 of House Bill 15, and we'll move it out. If you have any amendments or changes you want to make, please try to get them to me by noon tomorrow. Thank you so much for your interest in these bills.
You have a lot of
committees
anything you want, but in practical terms, what you're bringing forward is can only be handled
Bill Cullen,
in my limited way of seeing.
One
is by a constitutional amendment, and the other is already in law.
Really
the legislature can already adjust the boundaries, but, you know, yeah, we're adjourned.